ప్రభు నిత్యనంద శ్రీర్వేదికారు ఆశిస్తూ గొడవస్తుండీ శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధకృష్ణ గౌరవ శ్యామ పునరాధకరి గిరి గోవిందానికి జాయ శ్రీమంతాపందానికి జాయ నగరందానికి జాయ రామజీవన స్వస్తి పక్క జరిగి జాయపరి వైశాలి జాయ సమగతి పక్క జరిగి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ
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 నమో విష్ణుపరాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాద వలే శ్రీమతి భక్తిపరాయ స్వామి నామనే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవ గౌరవాణి ప్రచారణే నిర్వశిష్ట వారి పాశ్చాత్యచారణే శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిజానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధారణ శ్రీవాసుని గౌరవాకృంద
హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే
శ్రీ రామ స్మభావ జ్ఞాన పోషాపని అన్యస్యాయస్వ్యతిక్రమాతరోకే Translation, there is no stronger obstruction to one's self-interest than thinking other subject matters to be more pleasing than one's self-realization. For human life is especially meant for self-realization. Self refers to the super-self and the individual self, the supreme personality, God, and living entity. When, however, one becomes more interested in the body and the body's sense gratification, he creates for himself obstruction on the path of self-realization. By the influence of Maya, one becomes more interested in sense gratification, which is prohibited in this world for those interested in self-realization. Instead of becoming interested in sense gratification, one should divert his activities to satisfy the senses of the Supreme Soul. Anything performed contrary to this principle is certainly against one's self-interest. For human society, constantly thinking of how to earn money and apply it for sense gratification brings about the destruction of oneself, one's interests. And when one becomes devoid of knowledge and devotional service, he enters into species of life like those of trees and stones. Therefore, jnana, or knowledge, means to understand one's conscious position, and the jnana refers to practical application of that knowledge in life. In the human form of life, one should come to the position of jnana and vijnana, but despite this great opportunity, if one does not develop knowledge and practical application of knowledge through the help of a spiritual master and the shastras, in other words, if one misuses this opportunity, then in the next life he is sure to be born in the species of non-moving living entities. Non-moving living entities include hills, mountains, trees, plants, etc. This stage of life is called punyatam or mukyatam, namely, making all activities zero. Philosophers who support stopping all activities are called sunyavadi. By nature's own way, our activities are to be gradually diverted into emotional service. But there are philosophers who, instead of purifying their activities, try to make everything zero, or void of all activities. This lack of activity is represented by the trees and the hills. This is a kind of punishment inflicted by the laws of nature. We do not properly execute our mission of life and self-realization, nature's punishment will render us inactive by putting us in the form of trees and hills. Therefore, activities directed towards sense gratification are condemned herein. One who is constantly thinking of activities to earn money and gratify the senses is following a path which is suicidal. Factually, all human society is following this path. Somewhere or other, people are determined to earn money or get money by begging, borrowing, or stealing, and applying that for sense gratification. Such a civilization is the greatest obstacle in the path of self-realization. Those who strongly desire to cross the ocean of nations must not associate with the mode of ignorance or hedonistic activities, and the greatest obstruction to realization of religious principles, economic development, regulated sense gratification, at last, is liberation. Therefore, the four principles of life allow one to live according to religious principles, to earn money according to one's position in society, to allow senses to enjoy the sense objects according to regulation, and to progress along the path of liberation from this material attachment. As long as the body is there, it is not possible to become completely free from all these material interests. It is not, however, recommended that one act only for sense gratification and earn money for that purpose only, sacrificing all religious principles. At the present moment, human civilization does not care for religious principles. It is, however, greatly interested in economic development without religious principles. For instance, in the slaughterhouse, the butchers certainly get money easily, but such business is not based on religious principles. Similarly, there are many nightclubs for sense gratification and brothels for sex. Sex, of course, is allowed in married life, but prostitution is prohibited because all our activities are ultimately aimed at liberation and freedom from the clutches of material existence. Similarly, although the government may license liquor shops, this does not mean that liquor shops should be open unrestrictedly and illicit liquor smuggled. Licensing is meant for restricting. No one has to take a license for sugar, wheat, or milk because there is no need to restrict these things. In other words, it is advised that one not act in a way that will obstruct the regular process of advancement in spiritual life and liberation. The Vedic process of sense gratification is therefore planned in such a way that one can economically develop and enjoy sense gratification and ultimately attain liberation. Vedic civilization offers us all knowledge in the shastras and that we live a regulated life under the direction of shastra and guru. All our material desires will be fulfilled. At the same time, we'll be able to go forward to liberation. Translation is no stronger obstruction to one's self or interest than thinking other subject matters to be more pleasing than one's self-realization. For human society constantly thinking of how to earn money and apply for sense gratification brings about the destruction of everyone's interests. When one becomes devoid of knowledge and devotional service, he enters into species of life like those of trees and stones. Those who strongly desire to cross the ocean of nations must not associate with the mode of ignorance, for hedonistic activities are the greatest obstacle to realization of religious principles, economic development, regulated sense gratification, and mass liberation. So here, Sanat Kumar talks in the negative. That is, he shows the opposite of liberation from this material world and the obstacles. So the obstacle is enjoyment in the material world, which is mentioned here. It's against one's interest, but nevertheless, one indulges in this. And then he gives examples of how one absorbs oneself in earning money in the material world. And by that absorption, one loses interest in jnana and vijnana, and simply becomes ultimately a tree or a plant in some lifetime because of his lack of spiritual interest. So therefore, he says the whole cause is ultimately ignorance or tamas. And this is this acts to destroy dana, artha, kama, and moksha. So ignorance is the opposite of progress. But here he actually limits himself to artha, dana, kama, moksha, without getting into the aspect of bhakti and prema. So he speaks generally of the opposite of sense gratification. So that means following karma yoga and then following jnana. So in karma yoga, which is basically dharma, we get artha and we get kama. So we follow rules, and through that we get material things, artha, and we get enjoyment. So that is the karma yoga aspect. The jnana aspect, of course, is moksha. So how are the two related? They look opposite. One is material enjoyment, the other is liberation. So in themselves, the artha, dharma, and kama look like they're tamasic because they're leading into enjoyment. And moksha looks like the proper path. So how are the two related within the one system? So the relationship is through the dharma. The dharma is certain rules that are followed so that you can get artha and kama. So those rules also are restrictive. And by restriction, it is hoped that one will progress upwards to sattva-guna eventually. And when we get to sattva-guna, then we qualify for jnana. So kama and artha by themselves, useless. So the system of karma yoga also has dharma in it. So it provides for the artha and kama, but through the application of dharma. So this system eventually is supposed to elevate you to the position of sattva. And then we go for jnana and liberation. So, therefore, this system is there to counteract the tendency to ignorance and enjoyment by regulation of the enjoyment. That's in karma yoga. And then a direct seeking detachment in jnana and liberation. So these are the general principles of combating the tendency to degrade and ultimately become animals or plants or whatever in the material world. But as we also know, that artha, dharma, kama, moksha actually are not so impressive to Lord Chaitanya. And he says, actually,
the real goal is none of these, but it is prema. And we achieve prema by bhakti. So though this is one method, that is karma yoga and jnana yoga, this is one method. Nevertheless, Lord Chaitanya prefers the other method, which is bhakti. So we combat tamas by the principles of bhakti yoga. So that is not mentioned here, but this is the ultimate conclusion of Bhagavatam. So from conventional point of view, yes, we combat tamas by jnana, ultimately. And then we get moksha. This is how we get out of the material world. But moksha, of course, is not the goal of the devotees. The goal of the devotees is prema, to serve the Lord. So we achieve that not by artha dharma kama moksha, not by karma yoga or by jnana yoga or sangha yoga, but only by bhakti. So to achieve that goal, then we have to do bhakti rather than karma yoga or jnana. What does the process of bhakti do? It also destroys the obstacles. It also destroys ignorance. So whatever is accomplished by karma yoga, that is purification, going to sattva gun, that is accomplished also by bhakti, but that's the limit of karma yoga. It can't get you beyond the gunas. So then you do jnana to go beyond the gunas. So the goal finally of that karma yoga is to get to the jnana and get liberation from the material world. So bhakti, it provides that. If you get prema, you also get liberation. You also get out of the material world. You stop birth and death. You destroy ignorance. You destroy the subtle body. But without the endeavor of all these other processes. So instead of going through these processes and then taking the bhakti, which is a gradual process, the easier process is simply taking bhakti. So that is the actual conclusion. So rather than go through the indirect process of solving the problem this way, better to go through the process of devotion to the Supreme Lord, which will be the conclusion in a few verses anyway. So, although these things are presented, we should understand their relative importance in relation to the process of bhakti. Baba. Ahankara is destroyed in Baba state.
Maharaj, you said that once, if one chants just once the name of the Lord, he is, his all the karmas are destroyed. So can you say he's all liberated?
Karmas are destroyed. That doesn't mean your ahankara is destroyed. So in one sense you are, in one sense you aren't. But all the ahankara is also destroyed in Baba state.
But when you say that liberation, one is free from bodily concept of life, Kela is the Atma. That is the beginning of liberation, isn't it?
Yeah.
But that's not the Prem Bhakti there yet. Prem Bhakti is there not yet. Prem Bhakti.
Yeah, that's different because just realizing Atma, you're not realizing God fully. You just realize I'm Atma. So that's not complete.
We are doing devotional service, doing devotional service to realize Atma.
Well, we realize Atma, but we realize more than that. We realize Krishna. So that's more important still.
Not come to the level of plain bhakti yet. Not come to the level of plain bhakti.
What?
You know, simply realizing the Atma.
No. Realizing Atma is jnana.
A distinction between self-interest and self-realization.
Yeah.
Well, as Brahma says here, self means refers to two things. Atma refers to Paramatma and Atma. So if we say self-realization is the goal of life, we should qualify that and say it also in God-realization. So that's probably a better word to use, because it's a little confusing to think that self-realization is the goal of life, and that's the same as jnana. Yeah, because Atma means both. And Atma means soul, so it means individual soul, it means supreme soul also.
Knowing that bhakti is the highest, still one is able to take completion from the process. Knowing that the bhakti is the highest, still one is unable to take completion from the process.
Well, that is, of course, if one doesn't have faith at all, that is a great misfortune. Not that one takes to some other process or whatever. And to take to the process of bhakti requires that faith. And the faith may take many lifetimes to develop. So many people don't have that faith, and it may take many lifetimes for them to get that through a gap of sukritis. Once we get the faith, then it becomes a quick process. Any devotional act of the jiva, whether he, even if he doesn't do anything, it affects the atma. So that effect is permanent. But it's a little bit. So it has to accumulate and accumulate and accumulate until the atma develops faith. So it's a little bit of an influence, let's say, a touch. And then gradually that touch increases. Yes, because first we have to go to Gyan Sukriti, many births, then we start practicing bhakti. That may also take many births to perfect bhakti.
So for devotees, while performing devotion service, not being fully conscious of the fact, the result of being conscious. Devotees perform devotion service, but not being conscious while performing the fact.
Not being conscious of?
Being the devotional being while chanting, it's not being done for the Krishna of the Lord, but still chanting is being
done. Oh.
So the result varies.
Yeah, of course, the effective means of bhakti is when one is consciously doing it with devotion. Then it is actually called bhakti. If we're not doing it, we're inattentive, there's still some effect, but that's an abhas. It is like the sun coming through the clouds, as compared to the sun without the clouds. So this, the effect will be less. And if it's done negatively, then of course it's called aparad, and there's no effect. It destroys the bhakti instead.
What is the difference between
agyata and abhyata? Means we don't know about it. We're not doing it because of any decision of ours. We didn't use free will and faith to do it. It just happens accidentally to us. Well, it depends on what we mean by going back to Godhead. Like the pure devotee will think, I don't care for Sarasati Salokya, all these things, if there's no service to the Lord. So if it's attached to service to the Lord, fine, but if it's just to get a nice body, then it becomes material again, and mixed. Well, Paramatma realization and Bhagavan realization. Paramatma realization is also secondary, that's what the yogis get. So it's not prema. Only prema with the Bhagavan.
But in the case of Bharat Maharaj, this inattention and inattentiveness and being attracted to the deed, was it an offense or is it some other offense?
Well, it said that due to offense, some offense, maybe accidental offense, or what in the past, that obstruction in his bhava developed and manifested as practical here. So that means that offenses are more difficult to destroy than karmas and other things. So the seeds of, or the effects of aparadhas will influence one even in bhava stage. Whereas karmas are generally extinguished by the end of asakti.
Like good,